This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest. I'm T. Xiao Ik with Lim Soo Ann and Juliet Jacobs. As always, we have two stories for you today. And first one up.
Yep. Last Saturday, Malaysians took to the streets of KL to hold our own global climate strike. But while over 300 people participated, this was far lower than the numbers in other cities across the world. So what is it that we're not doing right?
Well, Greta Thunberg is definitely doing something right. In our second story, we'll be looking at what she's been doing for to sort of protest against the climate crisis and other youth activists as well. So, I mean, obviously, I think everyone by now would have seen or watched the speech that she made at Monday's UN Climate Action Summit in New York, where she basically accused world leaders for failing children like her. But in response, people like the US President Donald Trump have mocked her. So why do youth activists like Thunberg and others make adults so uncomfortable with their stance?
And on that note, we're asking you on Twitter, should adults listen to children when they speak up about issues? So your options are yes or no, and you can take that poll or tweet us any of your thoughts at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, or you can also call us at 0377-332900.
Our first story will be coming up after T-Rex with Children of the Revolution.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
That was T-Rex with Children of the Revolution. And in our first story on the Daily Digest.
So first, a throwback to a Daily Digest last week where we actually spoke about the climate strike that was set to happen on the in KL on the 21st September. Mm. So that was actually last Saturday. And that march saw more than 350 people taking part. So this 350 people was also marching alongside millions of others across the world who also participated in the global climate strikes, which actually began on Friday, the 20th of September.
So these strikes were inspired by none other than Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg, of course. And Friday's strikes may actually end up being, or rather, it's going on for a few days. This may actually end up being the largest mass protest for action in global warming in our history. And it was a truly global and well-organized event across all the cities, with over 2,500 events scheduled in all seven continents. And yes, all seven, because a small group of researchers stationed on the Antarctica also staged their own protest.
Yeah, and I guess it's almost impossible to get the exact numbers of participants worldwide, but there are estimates from the organizers. So according to 350.org, that's a major environmental advocacy group, and they were the co-organizers of the event. More than 4 million people took part worldwide. And here's some of the numbers that 350.org told Vox. There were about 40,000 people striking in France, 5,000 in both South Africa and in Japan, 330,000 in Australia, and a whopping 1.4 million people in Germany. But, you know, while the numbers should still be taken with a grain of salt, I suppose, until numbers from independent researchers emerge, it does indicate that more and more people will do their part to highlight the need for world leaders to act on the environmental crisis.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what the climate activists in Malaysia wanted to do during their strike in KL. So their protest had four official demands for action on climate change. And this is to smash the wall of political and media silence on the climate crisis, to declare a climate emergency for financial and policy mobilisation, to raise awareness among Malaysians about the climate crisis, and to raise the visibility of the climate narrative from developing countries.
Yeah, so here in KL, the kilometre-long march started at 4 p.m. and spanned from the Sogo Shopping Mall to the Sultan Abdul Samad Building in Dataran Merdeka. And many protesters were seen wearing face masks against the backdrop of the ongoing haze, which was still very bad over the weekend. I think it reached its peak in those couple of days as well. And so that further, just the haze and the visual image, I guess, of the protesters wearing the mask, right? It further highlights the impact that climate change has on our everyday lives.
Yeah, and the march was attended by various civil society organizations, such as Climate Action Malaysia, or KAMI, I mean, the other ones who organized it, Amnesty International Malaysia, and also Greenpeace Malaysia. And it was also attended by prominent activists such as Hishamuddin Raiz, Subang MP Wong Chen, as well as Indigenous rights activists Mustafa Along.
And as with all marches, protesters brought along their colourful artwork, placards and banners. And these had slogans like, "We can't breathe money," "No other system except ecosystem." I like that. "Worst housewarming party ever." And, and this one, "I'd rather be the hotter one."
Yeah, so to get some insights on what it was really like on the ground during the march, because I know I didn't go.
None of us are guilty.
So earlier today, I did speak to Baida Herkes, who is a climate reality leader and president of the Free Tree Society, who was and she was there at the march. So here's our conversation. So you were there at the global climate strike in that happened in KL over the weekend. Tell me what it was like being there, being part of that march.
I'd like to break that up into two parts. Firstly, the onlookers seemed quite unaware of the cause for the rally. So definitely the public needs more awareness education. But from the crowd itself, there was that sense of urgency about the climate issue. And at some points, definitely the group were quite strongly charged by emotion, especially during the speeches. But that sense of unity and compassion for something larger than ourselves, you definitely felt it. It was an emotional morning, afternoon.
And based on news reports, it was said that the numbers at the KL strike was about 350 people. But in comparison to when we look at the statistics from other countries like Japan or Australia, it's quite a stark difference. What are some of the possible reasons for the lower turnout here in Malaysia?
Well, you'd have to look at the numbers within the larger context of Malaysia. First, environmental issues tend to be seen as more niche. People who organise environmental protests have historically been people who are directly impacted by a specific action, such as logging in ancestral lands or the building of an incinerator. Second, the authorities have not always reacted well to rights-based demonstrations. With the growth of environmental awareness and when rallies and marches are accepted as integral components of a democratic society in Malaysia, then hopefully numbers will increase.
So, when you're talking about environmental activism, looking at the bigger picture, what is the reception like in Malaysia? I think you mentioned it briefly. How responsive are people when we hear about calls to activities like a march like that? Is there enough awareness or willingness to react?
The climate crisis is the greatest threat of our time, and people are waking up to that reality. But we can't just stop at awareness. The fact that the climate strike last weekend was organised by mostly young people points to not just better awareness generally, but also that people are passionate enough to do something about it. And that's what we need, for people to use the power they have to push for change, push for governments to sit up and do what they need to be doing.
In your line of work, what are some of the main challenges that you've faced or you see in trying to get that message across, especially to all parts of the Malaysian population?
Well, this is where NGOs and the government can play complementary roles. So NGOs, like ourselves, are already pushing the message with the little resources that we have. So Free Tree Society runs environmental stewardship programs. But if the government were to introduce good, substantive environmental education in schools, the impact would be greater. There's comparatively little material on environmental issues in vernacular languages. Few schools have adopted environmentally sustainable practices due to resource constraints. If the government were to implement environmental education and zero waste programs in schools and also communities and allocate adequate budget for them, it would bring about an enormous change in only one or two generations.
And do you think that implementation, especially via schools, would be greatly beneficial in terms of overcoming the language barrier when we live in a multilingual society like Malaysia?
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely very little translated into local languages, yeah.
So that was by the Herkus, president of the Free Tree Society. And, you know, besides the march, the global climate strikes that were happening across cities as well, we also had, there was also another report that came out, and this was backed by the world's major climate science bodies, and that was launched on Monday. So just as leaders were actually gathering at a UN Climate Action Summit in New York.
The United in Science report found that commitments to cut greenhouse gas emissions must be at least tripled, and where possible, increased by up to fivefold if the world is to meet the goals of the 2015 Paris Climate Agreement. Mm-hmm. The report also says that current plans would lead to a rise in average global temperatures of between 2.9 degrees Celsius and 3.4 degrees Celsius by 2100, which is far above the recommended 1.5 to 2 degrees Celsius. Mm, so this shift in temperature is very likely to bring catastrophic change across the globe. But it is still possible to reduce that gap and keep global heating to a safe level if there is an urgent and massive shift in commitments and action, which is, I think, what the young ones are fighting about, because there seems to be a lack of that.
Yeah. I mean, it does help that there, and even just as an observer, I do notice a sharp rise in awareness and activism and actions regarding environmental issues here in Malaysia. Yes, very much driven by young people, but not solely among young people. I will say I see it across all groups here in Malaysia, and it's heartening. There's just everyone sort of has an idea of what the climate crisis is doing to our daily lives as well. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, as producer and presenter of Earth Matters, Juliet, you speak to everyone working in these issues,
yes,
really.
For years now.
Policymakers, NGOs, and smaller groups as well, trying to do their little parts, right?
Yeah, so we're seeing a lot more communities coming together and do, like, so, like I think Baida mentioned, you know, doing small little community actions, like even simple things like having a recycling centre in your local neighbourhood, which I think is something that you have
in your neighbourhood.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, like some of the people who I've spoken to, the activist schools, more and more inviting them to come and give talks. Mm. And I don't recall any time when I was in school having anyone come and give us a talk about, you know, how to recycle or how to be.
And actions then, I remember, were very sporadic. Collecting newspapers for recycling, and that was it.
Yeah, or tin cans, aluminium cans.
Yeah, and we never knew how to take it beyond that. Mm-hmm. We were never aware of the bigger picture.
And I think especially nowadays when you have the internet so like right there, right? If you want to do something, you can easily search it up, figure out what you can do, how you can do your own part towards reducing the effects of this climate crisis.
Yeah, most of the websites actually give you a how-to on to start on how you can start your own community projects or whatever. You know, everything is listed from A to Z. So it's just a matter of reading it and, you know, implementing it wherever you are.
Going beyond the community level, right, how do we sort of make that leap to talking policy, to influencing our decision makers, politicians, that we can't just keep doing recycling at the community level, is what I feel.
Well, I guess, you know, it's always a case of how much noise is being made about it, right? Then only you're going to get people's attention. So I suppose this is great, because just looking at Facebook feeds, for example, I've never seen mine so full of everyone talking about Greta and the climate crisis, and everyone is talking about it. And this is across the ages, you know. So it's a wonderful thing to see.
Mm. Yeah, and as you mentioned earlier, Juliet, Kami is one of the co-organizers of the strike here, and Ili Nadia Zulfakar, who is a co-founder of Kami, has said that they will be bringing those issues that they raised at the march, as well as signed petitions, to the parliament when it convenes in October. So I think it's something that we'll all be keeping an eye out to see if there are developments from that.
So if any of you attended the march in Malaysia, if you didn't attend it, tell us what you think about environmental activism in Malaysia, or how you feel that all this noise and conversations about the climate crisis is changing the way you do things. So you can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or call us at 03-7733-2900. We'll go for a few quick messages. But first, here's Charles Bradley with No Time for Dreaming.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.